Honorable Stephen R. Jensen presiding is now in session.
You may be seated. Thank you. Good morning. The first case set for argument this morning is Dakota Constructors, Inc. versus Hanson County Board of Adjustment. On behalf of appellant, we have Paul Lindy, who is appearing and will be arguing. And on behalf of the appellee, we have Jack Heeb, who is appearing and will be arguing. Each side will have 15 minutes for your initial argument, and then Mr. Lindy, you'll have a five-minute rebuttal. You may proceed at this time, Mr. Lindy.
Police Court, Counsel. Today, Your Honor, I have the honor of representing Dakota Constructors in its quest to own a quarry in Hanson County, South Dakota. And that quarry has been a long-running quarry for many years in Hanson County, South Dakota. Dakota Constructors purchased this quarry in 2021. Purchased this quarry from Fisher Sand and Gravel. Fisher Sand and Gravel had used this quarry since 1986, at least. It had licensed this quarry since 1986 with the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, that was the name of the agency at that point in time, and had continually maintained that license. And that was a license for the removal, essentially, of construction aggregate. It continued that licensure from 1986 until 2021, when it ultimately sold that quarry to Dakota Constructors. After this was an established quarry, having been used for at least 14 years, in 2000, Hanson County adopted zoning ordinances. In those zoning ordinances, it specifically listed this property where the quarry was located as agricultural property. As part of the ordinances that Hanson County passed, a conditional use could be had in land zoned agriculture. Specifically, a quarry was allowed as a conditional use. And when I say a quarry, the ordinance defines a quarry as a place where there has been removal of rock or continual removal of rock.
So let me ask you about that. There's a definition of quarry, but I couldn't find anything in the ordinance that seems to say the significance of what quarry is. I mean, it doesn't seem like quarry is referenced again in the ordinance. Am I missing something?
That's correct, Your Honor.
What's the significance of the definition if we can't apply it to anything?
Well, I think you can, Your Honor, because when you look at the definition of a conditional use, and that's in 507.33 of the ordinance, it specifically says the extraction of sand, gravel, or material, as long as that's consistent with surface mining under 45.6b. Then we have to go to the definitions of surface mining in 45.6b, which takes us to 45.6b3, subparagraph 15. We then look at surface mining, which is the extraction of gravel, and also it's the removal of gravel or a construction aggregate where there is no overburden. Within that definition, Your Honor, there's also the use of the word quarrying activities. So I think what that ordinance, why it has the word or defines the word quarry, is because it's later used in a statute that it incorporates into its conditional use portion of the ordinance. Otherwise, that word quarry would be mere surplusage, which I think under standard statutory construction would not be allowed. So I think that's the relevance of why it's a quarry. And quite frankly, I know that the county and the board wants to avoid their own definition of the word quarry because it talks about the removal or the continued removal of rock from an area. But really, when you read the ordinance as a whole, we look at 507.33, and we're talking about the extraction of sand, gravel, and minerals. Now, what the county would do is they would essentially say, well, that just means that there has to be extraction. And then they also pigeonhole further and they say, well, extraction just means that you have to be digging at all times. And we base that on the word extraction. But what they fail to do is that they incorporated surface mining, the definition of surface mining is from 45.6b, which I will quite frankly say, 45.6b isn't even the provision in the code that necessarily Dakota constructors and Fisher sand and gravel were operating under. They're licensed under 45.6. 45.6b deals with actual mining, you know, like what they do more in the Black Hills rather than just aggregate. But that's the definition that they used for surface mining, and we have to use that because that, I mean, that's what's regulating us.
Council, just a follow-up on that. So the ordinance does define quarry as a place, and it includes where consolidated rock has been removed. But the statute, the 45.6b3, uses quarrying as a verb. Do you see a distinction there?
Yes, and I did take a look at that. And I think when you're talking about quarrying and how I understood it, and if you look at that River Springs case, they talk about previously quarried limestone. So that means, or that told me that it had already been cut out of the ground and placed in stockpiles. So I think quarrying essentially means that you're removing it, but I think it's bigger than that, that you're actually cutting into it and then you place it there. That's what I think quarrying is. I'm sorry to answer.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the common definition of quarrying would refer to the extracting of the material, wouldn't it?
I think quarrying...
As a verb, used as a verb.
As a verb, it would. Yes, Your Honor.
And that's the term that's being used in the statute, the 45.6b3.
It is using that word quarrying, but it also states in the statute, the terms includes mining directly from such deposits where there is no overburden, and such practice as open-cut mining, open-pit mining, strip mining, placer mining, quarrying, and dredging. So what my position is, Your Honor, what Dakota Construction's position is that that has to mean something. So when we're talking about removing material from somewhere where there's no overburden, that means that overburden is simply the soil. So when you have stockpiles, you've placed that there for the removal of that aggregate. You've done the work, you've done the digging, and now you're in a place where you're still using that as a quarry, and you're still using it for the removal of material. You're not giving your license. You're still active. You haven't ceased your use.
So is your argument is that extraction is the same as surface mining, which would be that 16, sub-16 version maybe, and that all equates to what has been happening since 2004, which is just trucking this material out?
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, I think what I'm saying is that as long as you're removing stockpile material, which is essentially the construction aggregate that is in place there, and you're removing that out, and we know from the email from the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, that's what they were called at that point in time, that Fisher had stockpiled approximately 1.3 million tons of aggregate on the property, and there was continued removal from that quarry.
What about that activity of just taking this material from these stockpiles fits into 15 or 16? And maybe along the way, have you considered the definition of mining operation in subsection 11 of that statute?
No, I didn't, Your Honor, because that was not referenced in the ordinance.
Okay. It says that conducting surface mining under the whole chapter, but in any event, what part of taking this material from the stockpiles fits a surface mining definition in the statute 15 or 16 subsection?
The term includes mining directly from such deposits where there is no overburden.
So when they load up a truck with something that's been stockpiled forever, however many years, and they drive that out, they just mined it?
No, they've removed aggregate from the property, Your Honor, which would be deposits that didn't have overburden.
Is it waste rock?
Is it mine soil?
Is it mill tailings?
No, it's not. No. Right. It's the aggregate that has no overburden, Your Honor.
So, Mr. Lindy, let me ask you this. You agree our certiorari statute requires we give deference to the county's reading of its own ordinances?
Correct.
You think the Kroll standard is appropriate that we applied?
No,
we've not applied it to that statute. That was a judicially created deference, but what do you think the appropriate deference is?
I think that the board should get no deference in this situation, Your Honor, because here's the situation, how they want to use that statute, which is 11261.1. They want to say that we should obtain all of the deference because we are simply interpreting our ordinance, and our ordinance is simply extraction. But they go further than that, because when they pass that ordinance in 33, they say extraction of sand, gravel, or mineral, provided such use meets requirements for conducting surface mining activities of SDCL 45-6B. That means that we have to go interpret what 45-6B-3 sub-15 is,
right.
And that gets
into the question then of is that clear under state law that Hanson County misread its own ordinance? And if so, how?
Well, I believe what I'm saying is that under its ordinances, it defines what surface mining is, which includes taking directly from the deposits that are there, stockpiling. And I believe that they misread their ordinance when they pigeonholed it and said, well, extraction has to be digging. And then they go to look at the mine reports, and there's a zero on that, so that means that there was no new digging in the mine. And then they want to say that, well, there's numerous stockpiles that have been hauled from, but our ordinance requires actual digging when there's nothing in the definition of surface mining that would require that there actually be digging in that mine. There only need to be removal of the product that has no overburden, and that's our position in the case. And this is consistent with numerous other authorities that have considered this issue, because we know for a fact that this is a pre-existing use. That's not a question. I mean, this use pre-existed the 2000 Hanson County ordinances. So under 11226, it clearly is a pre-existing use. It's also a pre-existing use under 1305 of the Hanson County ordinance. The only question is whether either under 11226, did that use discontinue, or under 1305, did that use cease? They use different words in the statutes. And as I cited to you in the River Springs case, I think for cessation of use, there has to be essentially an intent to abandon that quarry. And, for example, in River Springs, there was 5 years. It was a limestone quarry in Wyoming, and in Teton County, Wyoming, and they had quarried or set in stockpiles various limestone, and it sat there for 5 years, and all they did was haul out a few stockpiles, and the court found that there was no intent to discontinue that use because, number one, there had been no reclamation, as there's been no reclamation here. Number two, the person that was using the mine or the quarry had continually kept it licensed. And then third, even though there was no actual quarrying activity or digging on the land, they continued to haul from the stockpiles, which showed that there was no intent to discontinue that use or cease operations. That's what I'm trying to get at here. And even if we go to the Ernst decision from the Iowa Supreme Court, that quarry had not been dug in or crushed in since the mid-1960s. And Ernst's application came in 1990, and the court found that 30 years of stockpiling meant that there had not been cessation of use. And that's what I think the focus that we have here is, that the county is going through and they're saying, well, there wasn't exactly digging in there for a period of time, and these reports say zero, when I think there's a higher burden to show that this place was abandoned. But we know that Fisher, the prior owner, immediately before we bought it, or sometime before we bought it, had put a notice of intent to mine that until 2031. Well, we bought it 10 years before that notice of intent would expire. So how we get a cessation of that use from what was presented to the board is just not correct. So I think what the board had to look at their entire zoning ordinance. I think that's what the law requires. They had to look at when a cessation of use is going to take place. They then had to go look at their ordinance, which included South Dakota law. And as I said before, I still believe that surface mining includes directly removing from stockpiles, which is consistent with the majority of decisions that have considered this issue. And once that continues, the removal from stockpile continues, then there's no cessation, Your Honor. I'm out of time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Lane. I believe you may proceed.
Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel. The appeal in this case hinges on the definition of the word extraction. As we indicated in our brief, mercifully, unlike most of these zoning appeals that I come before you on, I'm not going to be up here hammering on the certiorari standard and talking about how you can't look at the factual findings, because that's really not where this appeal should center. It should center on the interpretation of Hanson County's, their interpretation of the word extraction. And the test that this court laid out, or at least the test that it hinted it would use when it relied on Chevron and announced that deferential standard in Kroll, was, is it a permissible definition of the word? Is it a permissible definition? Not is it the definition, is it a permissible definition? And I believe that language presupposes there can be more than one. And I will give you an example that should be obvious from this case. I believe in this case, had my client, the Hanson County Board of Adjustment, decided that the way to interpret the word extraction in that ordinance that they drafted, that they passed, should include the mere removal of stockpiled aggregate, I don't believe it would be hypocritical for me to be standing in front of this court saying that is a reasonable interpretation and it should be given deference. I think that is the crux of that standard. And the question is why? Well, as this court explained in Kroll, looking at Chevron, the reason you do it and when you do it is when you're looking at the interpretation of a rule or an ordinance that the people who passed it would have some particular knowledge about that would allow them to better understand the reason for why they passed it in the first place. And we have evidence of that in this record. This record talks about what goes on when there is extraction in that pit. There is blasting. There are rocks hitting neighboring properties. There are issues that are laid out in the settled record from neighboring landowners going back to when that blasting activity was going on. We have photographs in the record that would support the geotech report that's in the record talking about the issues that there are with that particular mine and the adjacent roadways, the adjacent county roadway traveled by the public. I say all of that not to get into the facts of the case, but to support the idea that allowing Hanson County's Board of Adjustment deference in interpreting this ordinance, I think, is appropriate in this case. And I think it's a little bit ironic, and we touched on this in our brief, because normally when I come before this court and we're arguing about these zoning ordinances, I'm usually arguing that it's okay for the county or the client that I'm representing to be as restrictive as they are being. It's a rare case when I come before this court and argue, well, no, they've got a right not to regulate every single thing in the county. And that's really what they're doing here. As we pointed out, it's ironic, Mr. Lindy's arguing, well, no, you should be regulating. Your ordinance should include the regulation of hauling stockpiled aggregate. That should be included within the definition of extraction, which would mean, of course, that if you have a pile of gravel on your property in Hanson County and you want to sell it to a road contractor or the county itself, you would, under that rubric, be required to get a conditional use permit. Why? Because you are in an agricultural district and you are now engaged in the extraction of gravel.
So let me go back to your initial comment about having different definitions of extraction, and some broader, some narrower. And there's case law from other states that suggests that other states have read that broader than what Hanson County did. So we've got a state statute that says essentially a grandfather clause, unless there's cease after cessation for a year. We also know it's not unusual that gravel pits around the state, they get used for a while, and they may have stockpiles. They may still be taking aggregate out and using it to some degree, but then maybe there's a highway being built nearby, and so they fire it up and start mining. So one county, these companies are going in and buying these quarries that they assume are active and ongoing, because one county defines their extraction this way and another defines it another way. And it does implicate state law, because we've got an issue with you got a prior non-conforming use. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that potential rub where you have inconsistent definitions that and the applicability of that to state law.
I don't believe that different counties regulating it different ways is inconsistent with state law. We see it all over the place with land zoning. I mean, we have counties in the state that have no zoning. It's a free-for-all. We have counties in the state that have very restrictive zoning, where if you might be able to do it in Douglas County, but you can't do it in Lincoln County. And the state law would provide you could do it everywhere. So I don't believe that there's any inconsistency with state law. If you can get a mining permit from the state, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can mine in all places. I do want to address this idea, though, that other courts have looked at it differently. I think that is, when you look at the cases, and I'm sure you have, different standards of review, in many cases, different laws they're interpreting. Mr. Lindy touched on two of them, River Springs, where he pointed out the court there said there was no intent to abandon. That was what they were looking at. And I believe it was under a de novo review. In the Ernst case, the standard under the ordinance was there had to be a voluntary interruption. In fact, that's a big part of what the court focused on in that case. That's completely inconsistent with the standard here. The standard here, if you look at 191 of the settled record, it talks about for any reason. That's what this ordinance says, for any reason. It doesn't say because you voluntarily interrupted the use.
Mr. Heap, can I interrupt?
Yes.
Can you help me with your reading of the extraction nonconforming use in Section 507? It's the one that invokes or references SGCL Chapter 45, 6B, all of it. But my question is, one, how you read that. The text is that it's extraction of these sand, gravel, and minerals, provided that such uses meet the requirements of that chapter. I'm interested to know how you read that. And secondly, if we accept the argument that that the county has the ability to interpret extraction in a reasonable way, although it might not be the way everyone would do it, are we making a determination, or are we interpreting For instance, subsection 15 and 16 of SDCL 45.6b3, because it seems like we've got to reconcile extraction with surface mining in order to really consider Mr. Lindy's argument. And I'm wondering, terrible question, but I'm wondering if by indulging your argument, we run the risk of making a definitive interpretation of state law.
I do not believe you are. I'm going to try to address both of what I think you're getting at there. The language in the ordinance where it says provided that it complies with, to me, is just additional restriction. In other words, we're not going to tell you that the digging around on your property to get at sand, rock, or if that's why you claim you're digging around on your property for whatever the purpose might be, we're not going to allow you to call that the extraction of sand, gravel, and rock unless it's consistent with what the state is saying is mining activity. And to Mr. Lindy's argument about, well, the state statute would define this as mining activity, what was being described in parts of the record as hauling away of stockpiled material, that is by definition, under his argument, also mining in state law, I think is completely inaccurate. Now, I promised Mr. Lindy I wouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it. I grew up in a sand pit. I mean, that was my life. And overburden is money. It costs you money. And a mine, all the state is saying in that statute is you can't claim you're not operating a surface mine just because you're fortunate enough not to have to dig under the dirt to go get at what it is you're mining. That's not an out.
And it's not, but it still has to be mining in the sense that it's not just removing a pile that's already there.
Correct. Even the state defines it that way. Not in the statute. If you look in the record, Mr. Erickson, when the county was investigating this and was asking about, well, wait a minute, we've got these reports that since 04, nothing has been removed. How does that reconcile with the idea that there could be activity? And he points out the word mining is not it's not defined in the chapter in state law. But what we have interpreted it to be is the extraction from the natural state. Therefore, once you remove it from its natural state and you stockpile it right next to the place you removed it from, that is now removed according to the state. Yes.
And I hate to spring it on you because I didn't see it in the briefs, but there is a definition of mining operation.
Yeah.
In 45.6b3, it's several sentences, but the first sentence is development or extraction of a mineral from its natural occurrence in the affected land.
Right. Which is why I think the state's definition is a fair one, and I think the county's, which is consistent with that, is also fair. But not only fair, is it a reasonable definition? And I don't think there's any way to argue that it's not. Back to my overburden part, to me, it would be almost unreasonable to try to suggest that state statute that says you are mining, whether the thing you are mining is covered by overburden or not, to then try to turn that on its head and say, well, we're mining, even though the thing that we are hauling has already been mined, it's already been taken out of the ground and stockpiled. And I'm going to go once again to the extreme, but under Mr. Lindy's argument, anybody with a dump truck who's hauling gravel, who's loading their own truck, and as you pointed out, Mr. Chief Justice, earlier, we have a lot of that goes on in the state, you know, at these small gravel pits. Under that argument, you would need a state mining permit. You would need a state mining permit to get in that payloader and load that truck, whether it's your pit or not, because you are now extracting under that.
So you said you grew up in and around a pit, so you know that the process of taking the quarried material from the ground involves some heavy equipment, and that's why they stockpile it, which means that, if I understand your interpretation or the county's interpretation, every year, every mining operation in Hanson County has to go in and bring that equipment in and extract something from the ground in order to
the whole idea behind zoning. You see it in some of the cases. At some point, these nonconforming uses should go away, and there should be permits. Let's remember, Hanson County did not deny Mr. Lindy's client a permit. They issued him a permit. He just didn't like the conditions, and he doesn't want to comply with those. So,
but the question is whether he needs the permit in the first place.
And that's exactly why we're here. The simple answer to your question would be, yes, they will need a permit if they were not extracting gravel or sand from the ground at least once a year, because they would no longer be grandfathered. That would presuppose they don't already have the permit because they've applied for it and received it, or that that's not what they did. In the particular pit I grew up in, there wasn't a single day where we didn't extract something from the ground, and I wish there would have been. But
it was a sand pit, which involves different equipment. If you're quarrying rock, it involves some very expensive and very heavy equipment that they typically bring in to do that sort of thing. So that's why they stockpile, because they need to move that from spot to spot.
Or it could be. In this case, I think they actively operated it, and then when they pulled out, they had a bunch of stockpile material there. I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heath. Mr. Lindy, you may proceed with your rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think that last argument by Mr. Heath kind of puts it in perspective. I mean, essentially, what Hanson County is saying here is that if you stockpile material, and let's use an example. Let's say it's close to I-90, this quarry, and they're working on that area out by Alexandria. So you're going to stockpile a bunch of material, and you know that you have a contract a year and a half down the road. You get your crusher, and you get your bulldozer and all that you need to get that material stockpiled. Then you move it out of there because you're actually working on a project up by Madison, South Dakota. That material is going to stay there. And you maybe have somebody pull out of there maybe a few trucks for some riprap or something. That's still an active operation, Your Honor. And one of the things I think I didn't answer very well previously was whether the county is entitled to the Kroll discretion or and when I think about that, that discretion is granted when an agency, it comes from the Chevron doctrine, and essentially what that discretion, why they grant that discretion is because when you have an agency that deals with all this stuff day to day, the courts say, well, in administering their rules and determining what it means, they're the people who have to go meet with the taxpayer, the person who has to go out and regulate this. So we give some deference to how they're going to interpret that.
Well, but that's a Chevron's a judicially created doctrine,
correct?
Not a mandate of Congress. And here we've got a statute that tells us we have to give deference, and whether we like that or not, that's what the legislature has told us.
Correct. And I would point out that the actual language of 11.2.6.1 refers to the ordinance. It doesn't refer to anything that the county may incorporate into that ordinance. So I would think that means if they incorporate something that they have no specialty or knowledge of, that they're not going to get the discretion in interpreting that, but they'll get their discretion in something that they actually wrote and placed in their ordinance that's part of the ordinance and doesn't need to be referenced outside that ordinance. So I think that discretion ends there, Your Honor. The other issue I want to discuss is essentially, from what I heard today from the board's attorney, is that they've taken the position, which is contrary to essentially every jurisdiction in the United States, that the operations at a quarry or a mining operation cease if you are simply removing material that has been stockpiled. Because I believe I put before the court decisions from Wyoming and Iowa, and the Iowa decision is not really distinguishable. They use the term voluntarily interrupts. Wyoming, I believe, used cessation of use.
Our statute uses discontinuance of use. The ordinance uses any cessation for any reason. Essentially, what do those mean? They essentially mean that at some point in time, there has to be an intent to abandon what you're doing on that property. And at all times here, there was no reclamation, and like the Wyoming Supreme Court recognized, that was an important factor because that showed there was no intent to abandon. There was a continued licensing and a notice of intent to continue to license this property, and that was until 2031. And also, there was continued removal from stockpiles. And I would say that there was more activity at this quarry than there ever was at the quarry that was considered by the Iowa Supreme Court, and they found that that minimal activity concluded that there wasn't a cessation of use. And I mean, it doesn't make any sense to interpret this ordinance to say that, well, if you leave that stockpile there for 1 year, you have to go back and get a license. And I think the common sense reading of the ordinance, the common sense of the complete ordinance, which includes the cessation language, is that as long as there's stockpile, as long as there's licensing, as long as there's no reclamation, then you can continue to use that stockpile. And I think it was an error by the Board of Adjustment when they required Dakota Constructors to get a conditional use permit. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Lindy. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments this morning. The case is fully submitted. We'll be in recess for 10 minutes.
Thank you.